I'd like to pray as we begin here. I've never done a retreat on this particular topic, so it's a little bit new, and I hope it's fruitful for all of us, and I hope it ministers to you. So let's pray together. Yeah, Father, I ask in Jesus' name for your Holy Spirit to take this water and turn it into wine, Lord God, and take what we give you, Lord. We bring you our fish and our loaves, Lord, and only you can do extraordinary things with the words of our lips, Lord, and this, the communication and our processing together here, Lord. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to as always, Lord, to amaze us, Lord God. You can take what we give you and just change and feed the multitudes, Lord, and transform cultures, Lord God. So we welcome you to minister to us as we serve in the same great city, Lord, of New York that you love so much, Lord. We pray that you would just melt our hearts closer together and knit us closer together in a passion for you and for the honor of your name in our city, and that you would speak to us all, Lord God, and teach me as I speak, Lord God, and teach us all, Lord, as we take this time together to ponder your amazing love, Lord, and your laws that are so glorious and beautiful, and they revive our soul, Lord God. They give light to our eyes, and they lift us up, Lord. So help us, Lord, to treasure what you have said, to treasure your laws, Lord, because they are our delight in our life, Lord God. Thank you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've been doing a study in our church a little bit parallel with when I heard the theme from Hey, where's Hey, by the way? Where's thank you, Hey. Hey is wonderful. Hey, do you still love me? Hey, okay. Because there was so many texts back and forth, and I don't know if I drove you crazy, but we're good. We're all good, right? Everything's under the blood right now. Okay. But as I got the information about the retreat, about, you know, just joyful restoration. And Albert was sharing a little bit about his heart for this retreat with me and processing back and forth. Who was it? Was it also David Eng that I was speaking with? And yes, that was you. Was you with the email? Okay. So just a little communication. And we were kind of in the same vein at our church, speaking a lot lately about the biblical treasure of Jubilee. I've been studying it over the last few months, it really struck me the passion that God has for our rest and for our joy. It was I had always, you know, appreciated the principle of Jubilee. I've always understood Jubilee to be a powerful social safety net for the Jewish people, as every 50 years the land is returned to the original owners. We'll go over it in detail, and it's a powerful blessing for a nation. But as the Word of God always is, as you take a step deeper. By the way, can I have some water pistols or something like that? Something to throw at people. Whenever people fall asleep, I like to throw things at them. So do you have anything I could throw that wouldn't poke out an eye or something? It's all fun till an eye goes. You know anything? Because this guy over here was falling asleep on me already, man. Whoa! Oh, so offended right now. I mean, I didn't even start my intro yet. I'm just introing my intro, and he started. Give me something to throw, please. Okay, yeah. Oh, perfect. Okay, a bag of marshmallows. Good. Tie this. Okay, thank you. Oh no. Okay. Anyway, as I was saying, one of our memory verse in our church is we've been kind of pondering over the last, I guess, month and a half or so, is "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. For take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls." You know, what a universal declaration Jesus makes. How is it possible that anybody could ever stand up and say, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? I mean, if I got up here and started the retreat by saying, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I will give," you'd throw me out, right? You'd chain me up and throw me in the river. That's psychotic to say something like that unless you're able to deliver. And who has been capable of delivering that level of blessing to the entire earth? And it transcends cultures. It transcends economic levels. People, the poorest of the poor in Calcutta can read that verse and say, yes, O Lamb of God, I come. I come to Jesus. It's an amazing blessing, this promise of rest, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this is a treasure that God has given us, and there's a passion that I've seen as you look at the big picture of the scriptures in God's heart for your rest and for your joy, for your rest and your joy. Jesus said that I will give you my joy and no man will steal it, No man can snatch it away. I will give you joy and no man can steal it from you. But I know a lot of joyless Christians, so there's a problem, right? In my book, it's more like nobody can steal it, but often we've given it away. Often we've surrendered. We've forfeited, We've forfeited our joy, and we've allowed ourselves to be ripped off. But no man can take it from you. So this is a treasure that has been given for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a treasure that has been given to the people of God that has so often been forfeited that we forgot that it's something that is our eternal inheritance in Christ. So I pray that there would be strength, that there would be strength in the people of God. There would be a joy, as we're talking about a joyful restoration, and Jubilee is so much about the joyful restoration of the kingdom of God in the nation of Israel. Let's pray that as a body, as Grace Faith Church, that you would experience a new level of joy in Christ Jesus that would make you amazingly powerful in the kingdom of God. Amen. We say amen in our church. You guys say amen? Is that good? Is that good? Okay, good, good. Okay, so I want to first we'll have a quick overview of the principles of behind the Sabbath, because Jubilee is basically the commandment of God that we would observe the Sabbath, that the Sabbath day would be kept holy, was a weekly command of God. But the Jubilee is a building upon and a building upon and a building upon the Sabbath till it gets to these astronomical proportions. So let's take a look at it together at the power. Just give you a little quick rundown. The Sabbath was once every 7 days. This is an overview, and then we'll go in a little bit of detail. And then they had 7 nationwide feasts a year that the nation of Israel celebrated. They were feasts that were commanded to be celebrated. And in these feasts, often there were 7 days of rest, and there were 7 days of celebration. And there were the feast of Pentecost is 50 days, or 7 times 7 days after the celebration of the Passover. So there's always this looping of seven throughout the scriptures. You'll notice. And then there was every 7 years, it was called a Sabbath year in the scriptures, and we'll talk about it. It was a year when there was not just a day of rest, but a year of rest for the nation of Israel. It was all commanded. Then every 7 Sabbath years, or every 49 years, and ending and then looping into the 50th year, was the year of Jubilee. So do you see what's going on here? It's like the Sabbath of Sabbath of Sabbath of Sabbath of Sabbaths culminating in Jubilee. It's rest upon rest upon joy upon rest upon blessing upon liberty upon relationship with God upon love for one another, and just exploding in it's one of the happiest words you could ever say, right? Jubilee. Jubilee. It's like, they have bands named Jubilee. It's like you go down south, they have these Jubilee festivals. It's one of the happiest words you could ever say, and it comes from this ancient custom called Jubilee. So let's take a look at a little closer at Sabbath day, and then we'll put it all together. Like I said, once every 7 days was Sabbath day, and this is the command. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servants may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath. So that's the Sabbath day. It was not for nothing, but the Sabbath day was a command that if you would break the command to observe the Sabbath, the penalty was death. You know, this is not a joke. This is not something to the Lord that was, oh, I just want you guys to have a little time off, so I'm going to give you an optional day to rest. And if you want to take the day off, take the day off. But if you don't want to take the day off, it's all good with me. You know, you work hard. This was one guy got caught working on the Sabbath. They killed him. This command for rest is not a not one of the scriptural options. It wasn't one of the voluntary, you know, there were some offerings that were voluntary in the scriptures, but this was not a voluntary. This is one of the Ten Commandments. In fact, it's the fourth commandment, but we'll get into that pretty soon. So it was a day that not only the sons and the daughters and the family, but the servants as well. And it was really unprecedented that there would be a day that a servant in the ancient day would ever have a day off. A servant was just a servant. They were a human tool. They were your slave, and you worked them, and you might have gotten a day off, but they would never get a day off. But this is a command. He said, I want everyone to experience joy and rest. I want everyone to experience a day with me, a day with your family, a day with your friends, a day of love and celebration. Okay, let's go to the next one. Then there were seven great feasts. And if we took the time, we can get into these in detail, and they're all fascinating, each and every one of them, but we're just going to do an overview today. But there's the Feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah. Those are the Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, which was, again, another... All of these have fascinating, looping of seven in them. But this one was in particular. In the seventh month was a Feast of Tabernacles. And three of these feasts were celebrated in the seventh month of the year for the Jews. And then, as I said before, there was the Sabbath year. Every 7 years is a Sabbath year. And listen to this. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Your harvest after growth you shall not reap, and your grapes or untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical year. All of you shall have the Sabbath products of the land for food, yourself and your male and female slaves and your hired men and your foreign resident, those who live as aliens with you. Even your cattle and your animals that are in your land shall have all its crops to eat. So he's saying, on this seventh year, you don't do anything. You don't go out there. You don't farm out there. You don't harvest the farm. You let it all sit out there. And the way you eat is you go out there and you pick off the vines. Whatever is the aftergrowth, you go and you enjoy what's growing there. And the people of Israel would say, but how can we survive if we don't? How are we going to survive? And God is saying, I'm going to survive. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to care for you. This is God's way of breaking the curse that had begun with Adam and Eve, the curse that you will live by the sweat of your brow. God's beginning, if you notice, to unravel and to break apart the power of the curse over his chosen nation, the nation of Israel, that you live. The curse for Adam was, you shall live by the sweat of your brow. But that's no longer the curse. That follows that the people of God were being freed from that curse little by little, and eventually we'll see more and more that we were completely released from that, the curse of the sweat of our brow. But God's saying, I want you to taste and see my goodness and my provision for you in the sabbatical year. Then in the year of Jubilee was the Sabbath of Sabbaths. It was every seventh Sabbath year. So you're supposed to count off seven of the sabbatical years, and then that would be 49 years. So the 49th year, the 50th year, and the 51st year, he said, for 3 years there would be. Imagine having 3 years off. You know, I could use that right now. I'm feeling that, right? 3 years every 7 years you get a year off, and every 49 years you get 3 years. You know, I'm closing in on the 50s. You know, so maybe it's time I take a 3 year vacation. I'll be at the Enghaus for 3 years. How can you beat that, right? You are also to count off seven Sabbath years, seven Sabbaths of years for yourself, seven times 7 years, so that you have the time of the seven Sabbath years, namely 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn and abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month, and on the Day of Atonement you shall sound a horn all throughout your land. Thus you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his own family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather from its untrimmed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its crops out of the field. On this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his own property. So think about this. There's so much about the Sabbath years and the Jubilee years that were an amazing blessing governmentally, by a governmental or a social blessing that God gave over the nation of Israel. So every 7 years, as you said, you have a year off. But also, if you had sold yourself into slavery for whatever reason, if you had got caught up in some Israeli Ponzi scheme, or if you had got caught up in some poor financial planning, or whatever it is, so you would sell yourself into slavery. But every 7 years, you would have to be set free. And according to the laws of the nation of Israel, you could not be a slave perpetually. There were ramifications and consequences for your maybe, you know, misappropriation of funds or mishandling of your land and finances. But every 7 years you had a new start, a fresh start. But in the year of Jubilee, there was a second level of a fresh start. How many of you have ever played the game of Monopoly? Any Monopoly players in here? Okay. This is the year of Jubilee. Kind of works this way. Everybody kind of had their own land, you know. Everybody had their own piece of property. So let's say Albert's, you know, Pastor Albert would have, let's say, no, Pastor Albert would get Boardwalk, of course. And the Engs would, Park Place, he'd be next door to Albert over there. And I always, whenever I played this game, this is my. I wanted Pennsylvania Avenue. If I got Pennsylvania Avenue and Marvin Gardens, I ruled. I ruled the whole game. Got my hotels up, and you just couldn't get past me there. Anyway, this is the way it was. Everybody had their own section of land. Everybody had their own property. And let's say it was 200 or 300 acres of property. It was plenty for you and your kids for generations to come to farm the land. You have wells in your land. You would have the capability of building your home and having a farm and feeding yourself, raising your animals, your flocks. You were good. You and your family were good forever. Every family had their own spot of land, and it was a blessing from God. And it's a fascinating balance between the struggle that we have in our world between communism and capitalism, and you know, the ills and the wrongs of both. You know, in one sense, the some of you have suffered under communism and some of the struggles of communism, where everybody is, where nobody owns anything, the government owns everything, and now there is the motivation of the people to work and to work passionately is just completely undermined, so that there's just a laziness and everyone's trying to say it doesn't matter what I do, I get the same amount as everybody else, and there's no motivation. But in capitalism, you have the opposite effect, where you're given this concept like, wow, you can make as much as you want, and you could build an empire so vast, the sky's the limit. Keep building, keep earning, and meanwhile people are being oppressed, or you're spending your whole life trying to build up this incredible empire while you're stepping on other people. But in the Jewish system, in the Jubilee system, every family was given an eternal inheritance. So you had this blessing that was given to you by God. It was a gift by God. The land was his, by the way. And it was leased. It was deeded over to you for a period of time. The land was his. He says, this is your land. You build on it. And everyone has an opportunity. The means of production are given to all. Nobody is disenfranchised in such a way that you don't have the capability to build, to produce, to farm, to feed your family, to take care of yourselves. It was an amazing system. However, just just because man is man, there were many times when people would lose their property. As I said, mismanagement or poor planning or whatever it was, greed, whatever, laziness. There were times when somebody would begin to sell off chunks of their property because they couldn't pay their debts, or they lived beyond their means, and they would sell off chunks of their property till finally they had no property left, and then they would sell themselves and their family into slavery in order to survive. So you would become an indentured servant for another family. So if your father or your grandfather was a poor manager, if your father or your grandfather was an alcoholic or a sluggard in some way had lost all your land, then you're a kid at 20 years old. You have nothing. Everyone else has their farm and their land, and you're just in trouble, and you have no means of production, and you're working for somebody, you're serving somebody, and it seems like it's the end. But then you remember, wait a minute, the Jubilee is coming in 7 years. So at 20 years old, maybe your father, maybe your grandfather messed everything up, but in 7 years, it's Jubilee. And me and my whole family are going to be restored. Our land will be given back. We're going to have an opportunity to build again, to rebuild again. It's can you imagine a more exciting time in your life? And maybe you inherited, you know, $3 million in debts from your father, and you're serving under the weight of it, and it's like an impossible weight to bear. You can't get it off your back. But you're thinking, in 7 years, all those debts will be eliminated. My slavery, my being sold into slavery will be eliminated. My inheritance will be restored. It couldn't be a more exciting time. And then at the year of Jubilee, they sound the trumpet. You know, they blast the blast of the shofar, and all the properties restored to the original owners. It's amazing system that brings restoration in everyone. Nobody would be perpetually poor. Nobody would live as a slave in that land anymore. The people of Israel were the people of God, the children of God, and they would live nobly and with dignity, and they would be able to provide for themselves. However, you know, many people didn't celebrate the year of Jubilee. It was many people played Monopoly instead of Jubilee, you know, right? Many people, they would gather their land, and they would purchase the land from their neighbor. And you know what? When the year of Jubilee came, you know what they did? Many of the rich tried to stop the celebration of Jubilee. They'd say, your father's a lazy bum. I bought his land from him. Therefore, I own the land. The land is mine. And there was a period of time, and you know, the biblical record is not very clear. They're in the book of Nehemiah, we see that they began to celebrate the Jubilees. But there were times the nation of Israel was sold into slavery for 70 years to the Babylonians because they neglected to celebrate the Jubilees and the Sabbath rest of the years for 490 years. So they were sent into slavery so that the land, the Word of God says, the land would have the rest that the land deserved for 70 years. So there was a time of 490 years where the year Jubilees were never celebrated. There were at least that period of time where there was a lack of the celebration of the Jubilee years, and there was a clutching and a grabbing and a hoarding, and it was as if what God had given was not enough. God had given, and by the way, everyone had their own, you know, it wasn't like there was a big distinction between Boardwalk and Connecticut Avenue. it wasn't like this is the ghetto and this is, you know, this is Madison, you know, Madison Avenue, and this is the ghetto. Everyone was blessed. Everyone had everything they needed. Everyone was cared for. But there is a curse that has followed the mankind from the Garden of Eden itself, right? Is a curse that has just at times overwhelmed mankind. And in the Garden of Eden, we see that Adam and Eve were given everything they needed, right? They had provision, they had dominion over the land, they had the animals were kind of their servants, and they were given dominion over the animals. They had the fruit of the vine. They didn't serve. They didn't work hard. Everything was provided. They had the very presence of God. They had a beautiful relationship they had with one another in paradise itself. And yet, in paradise itself, there was a sense in them that it wasn't enough. God, you've given me all this. You've given me paradise. You've given me yourself. You've given me provision, but it's just not enough. And what I need is that tree. I need the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I need everything you've given is great, but it's just not enough for my soul. And we grab for more. There's a challenge in the principles of Jubilee. There's a challenge to our souls to come to a place of rest. To come to a place of rest. Because the fact is that what you and I have been given in Christ Jesus is so much greater than what Adam and Eve had. Even in this fallen planet, what we have in Christ Jesus, they walked with him in the garden, but he lives within. You know, that's so the treasure that we have of Christ Jesus, the inheritance we've been given of Christ within, the hope of glory, of his presence, that he's made his own home, his very home within our hearts, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the greatest treasure that ever has been. And God is still calling his people to a Sabbath rest. He's still calling all of mankind to a place of Sabbath rest, a place of jubilee, a place of joy, a place of pure joy. I'm curious, how did you guys do with your devotions this morning? When you just a simple question was on the scale of 1 to 10, how much rest do you find for your souls? How restless is your souls? Very restful, or you feel your souls are very restless? How did that go? How many of you said, you know, how many said 10? I have a perfectly restful soul. Any perfectly restful soul in here? We're looking for you. Anybody nines? Anybody up there with, like you said, you know, I'm pretty restful. I'm pretty, all right, Emily, all right. Okay, nines, okay. Anybody else? Who was in the eights? Who was in the eights? Just a few eights, okay. Some of the eights, praise God. That's great. You're reaching, you're experiencing a place of rest. And sevens? Sevens, okay. Sevens, you're sixes? How are we doing with the sixes? Okay. Fives? Fives? Fours? Three? Okay, I'm good. I don't want, you know, if you, I don't want to expose anybody here. I'm miserable. You know, I'm absolutely frustrated. It's interesting, right? The curve, if we could probably map the curve in this room, and it's, I tell you, when I began this study, I guess it was a couple of months ago, you see the big picture now. Look at this. Think about this. For the nation of Israel, for the nation that God chose to reveal himself through, they were called to be a light to the nations, and their nation was ordained to show all nations to come the ways of God. And their very, think about this, their very calendar, their history, their spirituality, their economy, and the very stability of their society all centered around Sabbath rest and celebration. So it's grown to me. This concept of Sabbath rest has grown in my heart personally in importance. I'm saying that it's the fourth commandment. The commandment to Sabbath rest is the fourth commandment, and it's only preceded by the commands, you know, to that God would be, you know, that to have no gods before him, that we would have no graven images, and we would not take the name of the Lord in vain. So those three commandments are obviously, you know, the transcendent, you know, honor God in every way. But the fourth commandment, only following the three commands to honor God in every way, is the Sabbath rest. It trumps thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. It's above those moral commandments that we see. And you say, you know, I would think that, you know, it would be that in order, thou shalt not kill would be above take a day off a week, right? Seems like it would be strange to have above thou shalt not steal, you know, rest and enjoy your family. It doesn't make sense, right? That's something you look at it, but Think about God's ways are always proactive, you know, always proactive. In fact, if you look at some of the, who's it? Any doctors in the room here? Any medicals? No, nobody medical. See, I'm half Korean. When like 50 people raise their hands, and anyway, Okay. But in the if you look at the medical or more of the health regulations in the book of Leviticus, it's fascinating, the health regulations, that in the ancient day, you know, we're talking 3,000 BC, we're seeing that God's prescribed kind of health regulations for the nation of Israel were preemptive, right? They were nutritional, and they were I'm just blanking right here. Huh? Preventative, yeah. This came into my head just now, so I'm flying right now. Okay, anyway, but they were preventative, there was preventative medicine. Who would think of preventative medicine in that day and age? Because you would only deal with the acute situation. So somebody has a headache and you deal with the headache. Somebody has a stomach ache, you deal with a stomach ache. But the scriptural remedies are all preventive in nature. They're saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't eat this kind of animal, you know, don't eat this kind of plant, stay away from this and that. All God's way of protecting the people ahead of time. The Sabbath rest is preventive medicine for your souls. The Sabbath rest, because if you really learn how to rest in God, you know what, you're not going to kill anybody. You're just not going to kill somebody. You're just not going to let your heart get to that place of murderous rage. If you really are resting in God, there's no need to lie. If you're resting in God, well, why do we lie? To make ourselves seem better, to get out of a situation. There's no need for lying. There's no need for envying our neighbor's property, our neighbor's wife. There's no need for, when you experience Sabbath rest with God, when on a weekly basis, you're coming before the Lord and you are taking the time to treasure the goodness of God. Just fall in love with God all over again. When you take the time, you're not going to be foolish and you're not going to be out there trying to steal and trying to connive and out there trying to abuse other people. When there's a rest for your soul, there's a rest for the nation. When there's a rest for your soul, there's a rest for your family. There's a peace that God is calling. So there's a extremely holy preventive medicine there, but even more important than the preventive nature of a Sabbath rest. This is God's intention, God's desire with Sabbath, with the day of Sabbath, with the Sabbath year, and with the year of Jubilee, with the Jubilee years, was to restore Eden. Was to restore, for the nation of Israel, it was to restore Eden. It was to restore for them, think about it, in the 3 years of Jubilee that they had, and they, in the Sabbath rest, they were living off the fruit of the land, just like Adam and Eve. Didn't have to strive, didn't have to live by the sweat of their brow, just everything was there. And they experienced the loving kindness of the Lord. Again, God's attempting. It's the beginning of the restoration of what God longs for more than anything is your delight with him as he delights over you. Your delight with him as he delights over you. One of the greatest problems that you see, one of the issues that brought the greatest contention in the scriptures was the battle that Jesus had with the scribes and the Pharisees over Sabbath day. Think about it. I used to look at it and say, why is that the issue? It seems like such a silly, like a technical situation. Oh, yeah, they're breaking their... They're eating grain they're picking grain on the Sabbath. Always got these big battles going on. He healed somebody on the Sabbath. You would think that the scribes and the Pharisees would pick a better fight, but it was always about the Sabbath day. And then I realized, wow, Jesus picked fights with them. Jesus would actually do things on purpose on the Sabbath day to pick a fight with them because he's going after them. He's saying, you've taken this day. You've taken this holy day that was meant for the blessing, that this was meant to be the restoration of heaven on earth for my children, and you've made it the most hellish day of the week. You've made it a day where you're afraid, you can't move, can't turn on the lights, can't walk out the door, don't do this. You've made it the day that was meant to be the day when the people of God experienced the restoration of joy and the celebration of the beauty and the love of Abba Father, and you walk with him and talk with him, you stole that from him. You You stole that from me. It's like stealing summer vacation from me. I love summer vacation with my kids. I love it. I love when you have summer vacation. And, you know, sometimes a school year, just really miserable. You know, you get home from work and the kids are working on homework and they're crying. I can't believe my one stupid girl was talking too much. Now we have to answer 75 questions, Daddy. This is stupid. I didn't do anything. You want to kill these teachers, you know. It's all right. We'll help you. And you all the time and the school and you're striving. And then summer break comes and you jump in the pool with the kids. You go hiking, you put a canoe in the river, and you're just with your family down the river. I love those days. You steal those days from my family. You're stealing the beauty. You're stealing so much from me. If you steal the Sabbath day from God, you're stealing from Him His opportunity to treasure you and to lavish you with loving kindness. That's what He wants. This is our destiny. Is not striving and working. We're still struggling under some of the winds of the curse. We're still struggling and striving here on planet Earth with some of the after effects of the curse, but that's not who we are anymore. In fact, as I said, the Jubilee that came was the closest it came in ancient Israel's history to heaven on earth. But when Christ came, what did He call Himself? He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. You see, we don't understand. That goes by us. That title for Christ, we understand King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We understand, you know, Prince of Peace, but Lord of the Sabbath, we don't catch that. For many years as a follower of Christ, I didn't take in the significance of that statement, that word Sabbath, that holy day, that day of rest. That day of the rebooting of heaven on earth, of the reconnecting with God, is the day of God's greatest joy. It's the day. How many of you grandparents? Any grandparents in here? And you have, and all the kids come over your house for dinner. You know, you have dim sum, whatever. All the kids. You have a big feast, and all the grandkids come over, and they're all there, and they're playing. I know, but my parents are with the Lord right now. But nothing made my mom happier than seeing the kids come by. You bring them over and she'll cook a dinner for them. My mother-in-law and father-in-law are beautiful, and they love the time together with the family when everybody comes together. This is what you live for as grandparents, as parents, these days of celebration with your children. And God loves you more than any grandmother has ever loved any child, more than any father has ever loved his son or daughter. He adores you and He misses you. Some of you have been working like crazy and you just haven't had time to spend with Him to say, God, I just want to say I love you. Jesus, I want to say I thank you for being so good to me. And there's no rest for your souls. And you say, why? I know the truth, but I'm such a frustrated believer. I'm so miserable. I know it's true, and I can't wait for heaven, but I just can't stand life. And you have this frustration in your heart, and it's driving you out of your mind, and you feel like there's something wrong with you. And sometimes you see people say they're happy, and I'm not, and you don't understand. And sometimes maybe they are, maybe they're not. You never know until you never know what's going on in somebody's mind. But Jesus is saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you." And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. This is a blessing from God. Some of you are struggling with sin, and it's oppressing you. I challenge you to take some preventative medicine. As you got to deal with some of the logistics of putting sin away, I've had guys in my church threw away their computers because they couldn't handle the struggle with pornography. They just said, I just can't have it in my house anymore, and uprooting, cutting out their internet lines because it was just too much for them. So sometimes you have to take really harsh very, very strong action. But I want to challenge you to really spend time in the presence of God and just experience His love. There were two battles that Jesus had with the Pharisees. One was in regard to the Sabbath rest, but the other battle was in regard to the legalism that they oppressed the people with. and they made our relationship with God an impossible relationship. They made your relationship, they made the nation of Israel's relationship with God, they added so many rules and regulations that it made it impossible to ever please God, impossible ever to enjoy God, impossible ever to enter into rest. It still affects the church today. You still, I know that it took me years and years of following Christ to finally get to the place where I could just enjoy my relationship with God because of his blood that just cleansed me of all my sins. You know, in Jubilee, all your debts are canceled. All your slavery is revoked. You know, your inheritance is restored. You know, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he restores you into your position before God. Sons and daughters, joint heirs, as bride. This is your position. So some of you feel like, you know, I understand what you're saying, Pastor Dave, about this nice day of Jubilee. But I'm such a rebellious or such a horrible son, such a horrible daughter. I've sinned so much that God doesn't even want to see me. He wouldn't want to spend time with me. That's a lie from hell. And the only way you're going to begin restoring and finding rest for your soul and finding joy before the Lord is to start taking the time of the Sabbath. Is to start taking that actual time, not just the concepts of the Sabbath, but actual time of Sabbath to sit before God and treasure his goodness and treasure his love and bask in his loving kindness. It's what's restored my soul. I've been ministering in the hood for about 20 years, and this the time of just like I think of it like sunbathing, when you're just experiencing just the blessing of God and you're treasuring his goodness. That is what has restored my soul throughout my entire ministry. And it will wherever you're at, the Lord will restore you, because he is not just the Sabbath of Sabbaths, but he's the Jubilee of Jubilees. Jesus is the fulfillment, the final fulfillment of every meaning and every, in fact, he was, in many calculations, he was born in the year of Jubilee. You know, he came in the Jubilee of Jubilees. He's the fulfillment of all the passions and the longings of your heart to find rest for your soul. So in Christ, yes, your debts are erased. You have a fresh start. You are born again. Your debts are eliminated. Your sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ, born upon him. Your slavery, whatever slavery you're under, whatever bondage you're under, it's been eliminated by Jesus Christ, and you have freedom. There's freedom for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is the Son, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed, and there is a restoration of your inheritance. You are not just people striving upon the earth. You are the sons and the daughters of Almighty God. You are the chosen sons and daughters of Almighty God. You are beloved by him. You are the joint heirs of Christ, and you are his very bride. So there is a calling. There is a reality about your life in your relationship to God that is beyond what we could ever even dream. And it's stated in the scriptures, but never has been understood by people on earth. These statements that we make about being joint heirs of the King of the universe, the King over the universe, that we sit in, we are seated in heavenly places with him. These are statements we make and scriptures that we read, but nobody has ever even begun to understand the meaning of them. But this is your truth. This is your Jubilee. This is your inheritance restored. This is your life in Christ forever free. Enter into his rest. Enter into his rest. That's I challenge you to. What time do I have to stop, by the way? Already 20 minutes ago, or do I have 5 minutes for a closing statement, or 5 minutes? Okay, there's a fascinating study. Let me just end with this. That silly study I did. There's this strange little verse in the middle of Ezekiel that talks about the sons of Zadok, and they were the priests in. They were a sector of the priests in the days of around David's time that didn't follow the Levites and follow the crowd into rebellion and into sin, and they stayed holy. And the Lord honored them, and he said that he said of the sons of Zadok that they would minister to me, that the Levites could minister to the people, but the sons of Zadok would minister to God himself. Just a beautiful blessing. But one of the statements about the sons of Zadok says that whenever they go in to minister to the Lord, it says they're not to wear anything woolen. Don't wear any wool. It's so strange. Don't wear anything that's made of wool. He says, and only wear cut linens, because I don't want you to wear anything. You shall wear nothing that makes you sweat. Okay? You can't. So the sons of Zadok can't wear anything that would make them sweat. So it's a, you know, it's an interesting statement, right? So, you know, I always think about that, and I don't know about you, but I'm half Korean and I have no sweat glands, you know. So I can you know, not take a bath for 3 days and nobody would even know. You know, I have no body odor whatsoever. You know, it's my wife thinks I'm an alien, but it's I don't know if it's a Korean thing or a Chinese thing, but anyway. So I've always laughed at that, you know, that the sons of Zadok aren't to wear anything that makes them sweat. So one day, I was thinking about that. I said, let me just check it out. I queried sweat in the Bible. You know, the word sweat in the Bible. Let me see. You know, I was doing a little study on basically, you know, work and living and rest in the same way. It only comes up 3 times in the Bible. The word sweat. 3 times in the Bible. So, anybody know where the 3 times the word sweat comes in the Bible? Okay, sweat of the brow. What's that from? What's the sweat of the brow? The curse. That Adam was cursed, that he would live by the sweat of his brow. The second time is only in the sons of Zadok that I just mentioned. And the third time is when Jesus sweat drops of blood. He sweat drops of blood. Think about this. That it was the beginning of the atonement was when his blood mingled with sweat to destroy the curse that we live by the sweat of our brow. It was the first freeing of your soul was that you don't live by the sweat of your brow anymore. You don't live by that, the striving. He's calling you as the Lord of the Sabbath. It was his, one of the first levels of atonement was to free you from anxiety, free you from stress, free you from fear that he was saying, Jubilee has begun. Jubilee has begun for you today. And there is a rest for your souls. And as you studied that scripture this morning in your devotions, he's saying there still remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There's still a Sabbath rest that so many, and it's understood in the scriptures, very few have attained this. It's there for you. Just like the Israelites didn't complete their journey into the promised land because of a lack of faith. They didn't enter in and they looped around for 40 years. Think about the number 7. It's a number of completion, right? It's a number of God, the number of completion, the number of shalom. God finished his work, and in 7 days he rested. It's a powerful number, and when God is calling us to enter into Jubilee, he's saying, this is what it's all about. This is the completion of your journey. Enter into my rest. And just like the Israelites, they were freed from the land of Egypt. Jesus freed you, you know, by his blood from your slavery. And they walked across the wilderness, you know, and God is bringing you through Red Seas and difficult situations. But the ultimate goal was not, sometimes we're kind of in the desert pondering how great it is that we're out of Egypt. But we haven't entered into, that's the completion of the journey is the promised land. If the Israelites never entered into the promised land, it would have been a crazy story. It would have been a strange story. It would have been an unfinished story, an incomplete story. I want to know today, is your story incomplete in Christ? You know, hallelujah, you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. You've been delivered from the bondage of Satan, of like Pharaoh, and delivered from sin and destruction. And you're on your journey, and he's destroyed the enemy as the enemy tried to counterattack and come after you, and you've crossed the Red Sea. No, nothing can stop you. Nothing can harm you. You're going to heaven. But have you entered into his rest here on this planet? Because when you enter into his rest is when you begin to enter into a place of dominion. That's when the nation of Israel began to walk, to exercise dominion as the kingdom of God on earth, as the outpost of the kingdom of God on earth. Have you done that yet? Have you entered into his rest? It's bigger than I ever thought it was. I hope it's grown in your hearts today to say, wow, I want to make every effort to enter into his rest. It's the command of Hebrews. Be diligent, therefore, to enter into his rest, to treasure this rest before God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would all, Lord, in every way, Lord God, in every way that we would cease striving and know that you are God, that we would not live by the sweat of our brow, Lord God, but we would live, Lord, for your honor, for your glory. So bless, Lord, my brothers and sisters here, Lord God, and teach us, Lord God, to treasure you and to enter into your perfect peace and your perfect rest and to live as sons and daughters, Lord, as joint heirs and as your beloved bride, Lord. Teach us, Lord, to live in this way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.